Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. My name is... hold on one second. I don't know what's going on. I think I have something. There we go. Okay. I've had technical difficulties today, so I apologize, everybody. I don't know if the intro actually played or not, because... Anyways, this is the Forbidden Door... prediction show. I'm your host, Junkyard James. With me, as always, he's back from his 1 week hiatus, is Cody Marinara, and we got a jammed pack, pretty simple show for you, but it's gonna be a good one, I think. So how are you doing, my friend? It's been a week or so since you've been on the show, but how are you doing?
I'm alive. I'm here. We've been sick the past 2 weeks. It's been, I feel like, taking forever to get over sickness, but doing much better today, feeling much better, doing all right. Yeah, I think we're good. How the hell are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. Of course, everything was working earlier, and now I don't know if anything's working at all. So let me know if you're watching this. Hit that like button, subscribe, share the video, comment below. Tell me if we're having technical difficulties like I assume we are. I don't know. I think it's live. I can't really tell. But all right, everyone. Let's get in. Last week, we had a big...
Seems like it's good to go.
Cool. Good deal. All right. So last week we were planning on doing a version of this or that that was food related, trying to do different topics rather than just a bunch of wrestling topics to allow people to join into the live stream and catch on this. And So we're going to do that this week. We got a fan submitted topic that I think will be a good discussion for us that we'll talk about here in the middle of the show. And then obviously what everybody has come here for, the Forbidden Door prediction show. Those predictions will come in our final big main event of the night. But let's start with our this or that. Here we go. So it's food edition. So you're just going to choose which food option you would prefer over the other. Let's pull it up. Here we go. Let's hope it works because we've had technical problems here. All right, here we go. On the left, we got some ham. And on the right, we got some nice crispy bacon. My friend, which one would you pick?
If it's crispy bacon, give me the ham. If we're talking the bacon's a little soft, a little chewy, give me that bacon.
Gotcha. So you like a little bit of a raw bacon. That's cool. That's cool. I like my bacon with a little bit of crunch. I'm going bacon either way. Ham, to me, is like, I know they're kind of the same. They come from the same animal, but bacon is 1,000 times better than ham. All right, let's move on. There's only like 6 or 7 more of these, so let's keep it going. Number 2, we got scrambled eggs or some over easy sunny side up eggs.
If it's between these two, I'm picking the scrambled. However, I used to be a guy that I didn't like eggs at all. And then I would eat scrambled for the most part. I'm not an egg connoisseur by any means of the imagination, but I have ventured out and tried some different stuff. My favorite kind of egg is a fried egg. That is phenomenal. But in this example, I'll pick the scrambled.
That's fair. That's fair. I like both of these. I think it depends on what mood I'm in and I guess what I'm eating with it. This isn't something like an egg isn't something I can eat by itself no matter what. If I had to choose one of the two, though, I think I'd pick the runny over easy egg. And obviously you got the toast with it. You can mop up the runny gooey yolk. It's pretty good. Just side note here, we're talking about eggs. Do you put ketchup on your eggs?
I have tried it. I don't like it. If anything, the only thing I can really put on my eggs, hot sauce I can put on eggs. It's actually pretty good. But if I really don't want hot sauce, cheese has got to be a staple. For the scrambled eggs, if I'm eating the sunny side up or a fried egg, I don't need cheese with it. I can just eat that egg, salt and pepper. We're good. But my favorite thing is a fried egg with the bacon and cheese. So bacon, egg, and cheese with a fried egg, either biscuit or toast or bagel. Phenomenal. But no, I will usually only put hot sauce or cheese on my eggs.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can do the ketchup. It's just, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it. I did this kind of out of necessity once. I was at a hotel and they didn't have anything but salsa to put on your eggs. And it's okay. It's not great, but it's pretty good. It's probably better than ketchup. Let's move on to the next one. Here we go. All right. Waffles or pancakes, my friend? This is a heated discussion. Waffles or pancakes?
I really enjoy both, but if I'm going to have to pick one, I'm going to have to choose a waffle. I don't know what it is, but I just love a waffle. I love pancakes too, don't get me wrong, but boy, I love me a waffle.
See, I'm going to have to disagree here. I love me some pancakes. I go to IHOP a lot and get whatever specialty flavor pancakes they have. And they're I don't know. I just like pancakes over waffles. Everybody's like, they love waffles because, you know, they have the little holes that the syrup sits in and whatever. I just throw the syrup on top of me, some pancakes, and put some chocolate chips in the pancakes, and voila, you got a fun little party. Like when I go to Waffle House, like I don't even get a waffle, to be completely honest with you. I get something else that'll probably gross people out, so I won't even talk about it.
Now, see, I think that's more sacrilegious. You got to have the waffle at the Waffle House. It's got it in the name. What are we doing?
I guess so. All right, number four. A good old hamburger, cheeseburger, or pizza. We like talking about keeping things saucy up on this show, so we had to throw a pizza up in here. Which one are you going with, my friend?
I mean, listen, the Italian in me, I love a good cheeseburger, man, but you put a pizza in front of my face and it's I'm devouring it. I mm-hmm. love pizza. I love pizza so much. Yeah, I would devour that pizza. That looks so good.
Listen, I'm going pizza as well, and this is kind of my justification for it. You can go to any hamburger place, and they may season it a little bit differently or whatnot, but every burger almost essentially tastes somewhat close to the same. It don't matter how you cook it, it's going to taste pretty much the same. Pizza, there's so many different varieties. You have the Chicago deep dish. You have the Detroit style where they put the sauce on top of the cheese. You have
which New I've York. Never had that, and I want to try Detroit pizza so bad. Continue.
You have like New York pizza. You have like Connecticut has their own style of pizza. Within New York, you have different like Buffalo pizza is made differently than like New York City pizza. And then you have there's so many different variations of pizza.
God. Neapolitan, you got Sicilian. I mean, you got it all. So good.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go pizza, let's keep it going.
Speaking of pizza,
tacos. So
quick side note.
Mm-hmm.
Next weekend, Thursday, we'll be here for the show. But next weekend, Labor Day weekend, we're going down to the beach. There's a pizza Ooh. Place I have discovered, and I know it existed. It's in Conway, in downtown Conway. Anto's Roman style pizza and subs. I have so.
Pizza you've ever had?
I've not had it yet. Next Friday, I'm going to try it. I may have to do a food review. I don't know. But I'm so hyped for this pizza. I swear to you, I don't think I've ever been more hyped for a pizza in my life. The stuff I look on their social media looks so damn good. So I've got so much high hopes for this damn pizza. I may have to do a review of some sort and call it.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
The Junkyard Pizza Review. I don't know, but the Marinara Sauce Pizza Review. We'll see, but I can't wait for it.
Sauce it up. Yeah. Speaking of pizza, there's a pizza shop up in Baltimore that Dave Portnoy checked out, and I want to go up to Baltimore just to try this pizza. It's called Frank's Pizza. He gave it like a 9. So that's pretty high for Portnoy, and their pizza looks freaking fantastic. But anyway, let's talk about what's on the screen now. We got tacos, and I think in specific those are Mexican street tacos. And then we got the good old chicken parm on the right.
Now, see, if you had probably chosen like a Taco Bell taco, that chicken parm is easily hands down winning. But the fact you put a good old street Mexican street taco, and listen, there's a place in Canapolis called Mr. Burrito. They got a great street taco. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, you go to Cancun or anywhere in Mexico and you get the legit kind of street taco, it, especially El Pastor street tacos, get out. Just get out. It's it's so damn good. Now, if you put Filomena's chicken parmesan up on the board, that's a totally different ballgame. Filomena's in Georgetown in Washington, D.C. You will thank me later. Chicken parm. Holy shit. Best chicken parm of my life. For this, I'm going to have to go to the street tacos. And it's hard to say that from being Italian, and the sauce is there. There's sauce on that chicken parm. It looks good. But you can't beat an original street taco.
Yeah, I think I'll pick the street tacos too, because typically, like, a street taco, like, you're not getting a street taco from, like, an authentic street taco from like a Taco Bell or whatnot. Like, you're going to go to someone where they probably have like heritage in the kitchen cooking the same recipe for 50 years. And so they're all pretty consistent with chicken parm. Like, sometimes some people's chicken parms are really good. And then there's some chicken parms that I've had that I'm like, take this back. I don't want it anymore. Like, I'll throw it out, and that's a chain restaurant, so it's probably why, but like Olive Garden's chicken parm is absolutely atrocious. The Filomena's that you're talking about, their food is good. That's good Italian food if you're ever in the D.C. area. All right, here we go. We got a nice cooked steak, and I know that steak would make your wife cringe, it's a nicely well-cooked steak, and then on the other end, it's the bird of Thanksgiving. We got a nice cooked turkey. Which one you picking?
I love turkey, especially Thanksgiving turkey. That turkey right there looks great. However, I feel I can only have it a couple times a year. I could probably eat steak every other day, mix it with the pizza. Maybe every fourth day, mix in some pizza, chicken parm, and pasta spaghetti. Anyways, I could eat steak a lot more than I could turkey. I love steak. Yeah. I gotta go with steak.
Yeah, I think steak is so multi-use. Turkey's very one-dimensional. Like, you can't cook turkey. Like, you can fry a turkey or bake a turkey or whatnot, but like, you can't really do too much with turkey. Steak, you can, you know, eat it like it is. You can put it, you know, steak tacos, or even if you want to, you know, get a little crazy, maybe put some steak on like a pizza or whatnot. Like, there's so many different things that you can do. Look, listen, steak pizza sounds, I might actually have to try that. I'm going to go with the steak. And now the last one here, I put this one on here because you see the flag up here in the top top corner of my pod here, and I'll make it bigger so you can see it. You see that Buffalo Bills flag right there? Listen, what you picking? Ranch dressing or blue cheese dressing, my friend?
That stuff on the right, my right, our right, looks like it's moldy and it's going to kill me. And I ain't touching it. And to be frankly honest, I don't really put any sauce on my wings. Just give me the buffalo sauce, even garlic parm or even teriyaki, call it a day. And I mean that schnikey just straight up. If I'm really feeling it, then I maybe put a little bit of ranch on it, but it's not often. Just give me the wing. The wing by itself should be good enough. But if I have to pick a sauce, it's ranch. I ain't touching all that thing is over there.
That is perfectly perfected blue cheese. And I'm going blue cheese. I can't go the other way. It's I know people think it's disgusting, but it's it's no different than a ranch dressing, and blue cheese in and of itself is actually a really good cheese, and it's made, yeah, it's made with penicillin, or, but it's, yeah, there's the stuff they put in penicillin in it. It's a little bit of a fermented, molded cheese, a little bit. But listen, you go over to, like, Europe, and all of their cheeses are sharp and molded. They got a cheese in France that literally they eat it with maggots growing out of it. It's and so I listen, get it. That, it's a little.
That's the French. We don't talk about them.
But listen, I gotta go blue cheese. I can't disappoint the people from Buffalo. By the way, this isn't a sports podcast, but the Buffalo Bills are going to win the Super Bowl this year. All right. Let's talk about some pro wrestling. We'll bring the screen back up at the end of the show. But let's put us back on here. Let's talk about some pro wrestling. So I'm trying to be a little bit active on social media, which, by the way, all the links are in the description for all of our affiliate partners. Join our Discord. Follow us on social medias. All of those links will be in the description or at junkyardmediagroup.com. You can find all the links there. But I'm trying to get more involvement on this show with some of the people who listen and watch and want to wonder what we're talking about. Sometimes it's difficult to come up with some filler segments on the show. And I thought, let's get the crowd involved. And so here's a question from one of our good viewers of the show. Former host of the former co-host of the Slapping Meat Wrestling podcast, DJ Wavy D, wrote in Saturday as I was recording the Saturday show that morning. He sent this in, and I told him, oh man, I couldn't really discuss it on Saturday because I had already recorded the show, but we're definitely talking about it on the live stream Thursday. And this was his question, and it's a good question, but it's a long question. So I'm going to read it word for word from his post that he sent on Discord. It goes like this. All right. He said, I could be mistaken, but I feel like AEW's world titles scene has been dominated by heels since its inception. Does AEW need a quote-unquote John Cena or Hulk Hogan to carry the brand to new heights? Do you think they need that mega baby face to attach the rocket ship to? And do you think Hangman is that guy, or do they need someone who is more white meat? I'll let you answer first, and then I'll give my thoughts.
I don't think so. The reason why I say that is because I feel, and this is not to take a shot at any company, I promise. I do enough of that as is. I feel that in AEW, it's for a little bit more of a niche audience, more of the smarter fans, a little bit more the diehards. They're not as cookie cutter as a WWE type fan that they're used to having babyface, the heels, you know, always fighting, and you have right. Your white meat babyface that is carrying the company for years. Like you said, Hogan, Cena.
So I'll throw in here. There's an additional piece that he added that I left out intentionally to see where your answer was going, but I'll throw it in here. He says to elaborate. When he says babyface to attach the rocket to, he's thinking of someone that can overcome the mainstream barrier and be the face of brand deals like Cheerios, Fortnite, Hershey's, etc. Someone that can be the icon of like a Cody or Cena, that can, you know, do all of the corporate sponsorship stuff. So you can go ahead, continue.
I mean, I guess if you had to pick one that would do that, it would be Hangman, at least at the moment. He's your white meat babyface at the moment. But I don't necessarily think AEW needs something like that, because we're okay with having the heel run the company, because in AEW it seems that the heel is the one who's driving the business up a little bit more. When Jericho was the world champion, obviously the first one, you know, it brought eyes to AEW. He was the champion for about 8 months until Moxley, beat him at Revolution 2020. But it was.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Great business to Jericho as the world champion, having the heel as the world champion. And then you get into the Death Rider storyline with Moxley. And yeah, maybe a lot of people didn't like it the first couple months, but it started to really gain some steam at the New Year mark. And business was doing better and better each and every month with Moxley as world champion from January up to about June, you know, until he lost it at All In Texas a month ago. So it's kind of like a WCW type of thing, to where, you know, obviously Hogan and the heels had the world title for so long, and they needed that babyface to kind of be the person that they could get behind to rally and dethrone the heel. I think Hogan versus Flair, 94, Savage versus Flair, 95, 96, and obviously Sting, 97, Goldberg, 98. So it's just different formulas, different things that I think work for each company. I don't think you can do the same thing. Like a WWE can't do the same thing as an AEW, and AEW can't do the same thing as WWE. Two different companies, whatever works best for them. I think WWE needs to have that kind of thing because they are more of a corporate-owned thing, and sponsorship is very important. I'm sure it is to AEW as well, and Hangman could probably do that. Maybe even Ospreay to a certain extent, but maybe even Swerve. But Swerve, I think, has his better work as a heel anyways. But yeah, I don't necessarily think AEW needs to do anything like that.
Yeah, so my thought is along the same lines as yours, but I think we have to ask the question, does AEW keep the traditional definition of heel and babyface? Because you look at Hangman Page as a character, there were moments when at the start of this current run that he was in, he came in as a heel. And it's not like he did some grand gesture to turn himself face. He just kind of realized over time that the path that he was going on was not giving him the satisfaction that he wanted. So I feel like AEW doesn't necessarily use heel and baby faces as the mark of where a character goes in a story, and that there's a little bit of fluidity between who can be the baby face and who can be the heel in a storyline. You have a storyline like I'm trying to think, like AEW is very comfortable running guys who aren't necessarily baby faces or heels. I like Swerve and Hangman, it wasn't like a traditional like good guy versus bad guy. And even in some extent, like Moxley was a heel, but they presented Moxley in such a way that he was like the anti-hero. Like what he was doing was, in his mind, to better AEW or to rid AEW of the people that he felt was ruining the company. without realizing that everything that Moxley thought he was saving, he was actually destroying. And so I think AEW, in the first place, their characters are a little bit of a deeper, have a deeper character development than a lot of the, you know, the cookie cutter WWE, you know, Disney Plus type of characters, which again, like WWE, it works there. And so they're good doing it that way. And that's not necessarily a bad thing for them to have the storylines the way that they're doing them. But again, like you said, AEW, that the WWE mindset doesn't work or won't work in AEW. And I think you started saying something that I want to kind of expound on. AEW's fan base is a very niche market. Having somebody that is a white meat babyface to do corporate deals will not bring people from WWE who are WWE fans into AEW. AEW does, one, they're a private owned company. They're not publicly traded, so they don't really have to speak up for stakeholders or shareholders. And for the most part, they don't have a whole lot of sponsorship. Like, they do crossover events with like Superman for the Warner Brothers stuff, or maybe like Tekken or some of those other video games. They may do some like special entrances for. They've done like Rick and Morty stuff before. But as far as I'm aware, the only quote unquote sponsor that they have right now is iDrink, and Harley Cameron does those commercials. So it's not like it's something that is super front focused, whereas WWE, it is front focused. AEW, they win people over by displaying what makes AEW the greatest and what they're trying to advertise, which is the in-ring product. So the in-ring product is their advertising. And so I have a list of concerns with AEW's advertising and marketing scheme. They're still miles away from perfecting their marketing. But I think instead of, you know, saying we're going to try and take WWE's viewerships with like these big corporate sponsors and signing these big, you know, bringing Uber over baby faces that can like promote the product around the world or whatever, they're just leaning in on their people and they're letting their product talk for themselves. I've seen dozens of people on social media start watching AEW over the past few weeks just because of the PR nightmare that WWE has had from SummerSlam throughout the last couple of weeks, with the whole Brock Lesnar thing and then this whole ESPN deal and all of this. Like, a lot of people have realized, let's give AEW a shot. And they come in, and AEW doesn't have to, you know, persuade them with anything other than this is the wrestling that we promote, that we put on. And if you like it, you like it. And if you don't, this show just isn't for you. And so I don't think they necessarily need it. The funny thing is, though, like you said, the heels dominate a lot of the advertising space. Mercedes Moné is one of the bigger heels in the company, and she does a lot of the media stuff. MJF goes on TV and does a lot of media. Moxley, when they were in Cleveland, Moxley did the media stuff on TV. So I think they're comfortable letting the heels do some of the promoting, and because they don't use the terminology of heel and babyface in the same way that WWE does. Any last words on this before we move over to what the people came for?
And I agree with what you're saying. On a severe side note, I think that To kind of counter a little bit of what you had said about kind of the bad PR WWE has had over the last few weeks, that maybe AEW has garnered some new viewers to at least try them again or just try them for the first time. I think another thing is pricing people out. I mean, WWE isn't selling out a whole. They're still doing great gate numbers. I'm not saying anything regarding WWE's going out of business. Their business sucks. None of that. Right. But they're not selling out arenas like they had been. And I wonder if that's a Cody thing. I don't know. But in general, they're pricing people out. I mean, I saw something.
I think that's the bigger deal. Yeah, I think that's the biggest piece, is that it's not necessarily Cody or a Cena thing or even the booking, because some of the stuff that they should do in the ring, if they were to focus on the stuff that was in the ring, I think people would tune in and care more about WWE. But when they go out and they see, all right, I have to spend, you know, I think I sent something to the group chat earlier that front row seats to WrestleMania next year are going for $70,000.
That's literally where I was going with this.
Who in the hell has that kind of money to spend on Wrestle? And I get it, it's WrestleMania, but like, we were struggling to pay for the $400 or $500 package that we bought in 2017.
We paid $250 for each to sit basically middle of the stadium. We weren't in the club section. We were just literally the middle bleachers of Camping World Stadium. And there were good seats, but $250 for that. We weren't sitting all the way up top, but we weren't going to pay $1,000+ to sit in the lower level. You know, the middle section was perfect for us. And then we paid $150 for middle tier for SmackDown after Mania, and then we paid, I think, right around 80 to 100 for Raw up in the nosebleeds, Raw after Mania.
What we paid would get you a nosebleed for one show,
nosebleed for NXT,
right? Like, it's not just the WrestleManias or the PLEs, like, even the Raws and SmackDowns are outrageously priced. So, again, I don't want this to be like a beat up on the dead horse, because we talk about it all the time, but it's in the news right now, and it's a real thing. And I know the AEW numbers came out, and cable viewership was down again this week. But I got to wonder, though, if the numbers were down because people just stopped tuning in, or if the numbers were down because they realized, oh, wait, shit, I can watch this on HBO Max instead.
Maybe. I mean, it's a weird phase right now. Kids are going back to school, obviously, and some are starting to wind down a little bit, so maybe that has something to do with it. You know, I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, it's one of those things that AEW, people made a huge deal for the fact that you could pay.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
$150 to sit, if not on the floor, pretty damn close to it for All In Texas, whereas $148 is the cheapest ticket for WrestlePalooza in September in Indianapolis, a brand new pay-per-view that is just, it's going to be a B-tier pay-per-view, it is, but it's the first PLE on ESPN, so they're going to hype it up, maybe even give you a good, really good loaded card because it's the first PLE, but WrestlePalooza sounds like a Vengeance, a mid-tier pay-per-view, and the cheapest tickets are going for $148 in the nosebleeds. I'm not paying $148 to sit in the nosebleeds at a WWE show. Not doing it.
Right, and you get four or five matches, and half of the show you have to stare at up the screen to watch the advertisements that they show.
Yeah.
So, but the alternative for the ESPN part is paying, you know, unless you have one of the few TV cable platforms that partnered with ESPN, you're paying $30 a month to watch the same stuff. For year one, year two, it's going to go up. They've already announced that. So Anyways, enough to, you know, to beat that horse. I didn't want to make this a beat up on WWE session, but in reality, it is. I think people have to realize that there is a difference between what WWE is trying to do. And I wonder if at one point, will TKO decide to rebrand WWE as a whole? Because they're not doing wrestling anymore. Like, it wouldn't make me that angry if, like, WWE rebranded to be like World Sports Entertainment, especially now that they're on ESPN and they can, you know, if they were sports entertainment, it would make sense. Okay, what they're doing is sports entertainment, and is, but to have wrestling in the name and not really focus on wrestling, just the purist in me, it just irritates me a little bit. And so there's just a difference in styles. And so what works for WWE probably isn't going to work in AEW. And so I think that's okay. And I love the question. It really made me think, if we had to choose someone for AEW to do, like, you know, to be that baby face. And I know we mentioned Hangman, but like someone like Orange Cassidy, I think would be pretty decent at, you know, being that, or Darby Allin. My social media blew up this freaking week because I mentioned that kids loved talking, or kids loved watching Darby Allin do his Daredevil shit. And apparently that's such a hot take that the people on the other side lost their flipping minds over the fact that I said, from experience, knowing kids who love Darby Allin, that Darby Allin is a draw for the kids. Well, kids don't care about work rate. They like Darby Allin jumping off fucking buildings. That's what they like about Darby Allin. They don't care if Darby Allin can do a 640. That's not what I'm saying. But anyways, let's get going to the prediction show. The prediction side of the show. I'll save my rant on what happened for the Saturday show. How about that? All right. So I'm gonna I apologize for you. I'm gonna show you the moldy cheese here while I get this pulled back up. All right, here we go. First match we're talking about. Who are we picking? The AEW World Tag Team Championship 3-way match. The champions, the Hurt Syndicate, fight FTR and Bro Dito for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. I got a bone to pick with this match, but I'll let you say what you got to say about this match.
It's actually funny, you know, you mentioned this, that, you know, if you look at what some of the dirt sheet people are saying, they're, you know, Hurt Syndicate's on their way out, things like that, and then they cut a great promo about with them and Speedball. But it is interesting, you know, I don't know what their status is, and I feel it's really too soon for them to leave. I think they're doing really good work, and I guess time will tell. One part of me thinks that maybe this is the way that they lose the tag belts and they still look strong leaving and they're gone. I don't know. But most of the dirt sheets were predicting FTR to beat them for the titles one-on-one or team versus team, but they threw a little bit of a wrench last night with the double count out or the draw, and now it's a 3-way. I think that the entire thing is a work, and I think that the Hurt Syndicate are going to retain.
Well, that would be great. And I would, if that is the case and this is a work and the Hurt Syndicate take the win, I would be absolutely, and I'll take this back next week if that happens. I'll say this because I'm about to blow this match up. What the fuck is this? How are we going to have a fucking draw in the finals of a tournament? In what fucking way does that make any sense? Especially fast forward, rewind 48 hours prior to the show, the G1 Classic Climax Finals, the announcers made it fucking clear. Typically, their matches have a 30-minute time limit. The announcers made it fucking clear in that match. We get a winner. There is no time limit for this match. And for them to have a 30-minute draw in the finals of a tournament It just, I don't love it. It makes the tournament look like completely worthless. And the fact is, I think they swerved this because I think the dirt sheets were telling the truth. I don't think so. My pick is FTR is winning, and I'll explain here in a minute. I think FTR is winning, but I think the dirt sheets are correct that Hurt Syndicate does not want to lose to FTR because they want to work with the younger tag teams, which is why they were okay working with Jet Speed. They want to work with people like Private Party and some of the other ones there. And so this is a way Brodito takes the pin from FTR. The Hart Syndicate doesn't have to look weak in their loss, and you can get the belts to FTR, because especially now that WrestlePalooza is happening head-to-head against All Out, we're getting the title match, FTR versus Cope and Christian.
All right, shut up. You made me change my pick. I'm picking FTR too. Because I counted out. I don't know about the Hurt Syndicate leaving or not. It does make sense if they do. I think maybe it's a little too predictable for the way that the match is set up. That I think maybe Tony wanted to play into the dirt sheets. So Tony sometimes does that, and then we're like, oh, maybe they're not leaving. Maybe they're not doing something. We shall see. But as soon as you had mentioned about All Out next month, and of course, it just immediately went back. I guess I had watched Dynamite earlier today, and some of the parts I don't fully remember, but I remembered as soon as you mentioned that the Cope and Christian segment, and how Christian was like, Cope is helping me with my Kip and Nick problem, and I'm helping him with the FTR problem. I'm like, shit. And Copeland's on the poster next month at All Out. That makes too much sense. It's going to be FTR winning the belts, and then they're going to immediately drop it next month at All Out for Cope and Christian to get their, you know, their big reunion tag team championship thing and all that. So yeah, that makes way too much sense. I hate switching things up, but I have to pick up FTR too.
And then to play into it, well, they might get rid of their Kip and Nick problem, but we'll talk. Is this the next match? Yeah, Killswitch is back, and I don't know if you saw that vignette. There's somebody that resuscitated this man to life, and the rumor mill is running wild. And ladies and gentlemen, Jungle Boy might be back.
Here's my thing with that. Here's my problem. What significance would he have to be doing that when he still came back as technically a heel in this situation, even though it kind of seems like a face thing as well? It's a weird spot with Cope and Christian, because obviously Cope is the baby face, and Christian is, I don't even want to say he's still a heel. I think he's kind of a tweener right now. But Killswitch obviously came back to beat him up. That would kind of make him a face, but then he beat up Cope. So what is he? Kip is a heel. But like, where Luchasaur, Killswitch being in this whole thing is just weird. I understand they kind of had to do a last minute thing because Nick was hurt. I get that. But what would Jungle Boy have to do with this situation? And then before you explain that, I think the commentary team did a shit job last night with his return. Oh, yeah. The crowd ate it up. That was awesome. It was great seeing him back. But I think they were just, look who's back. Like, just no pop, no surprise. Mm-hmm. It was just like a normal return for Speedball Bailey. I don't know. It just did not seem like a very... It deserved a bigger moment.
Yeah, they did.
Commentary team.
Yeah, they didn't make it seem like this guy literally almost died 12 months ago. Like, yeah. They could have done a better job of hyping it up. So to fit in the Killswitch thing, go back to that middle segment there to where I talk about, like, this, I guess, is a perfect example of WWE not necessarily using the traditional heel and face gimmick. And they're comfortable with people kind of riding the line of, like, to somebody, Killswitch is the good guy beating up Cope and Christian, but to others, they're the bad guy. And so AEW allows the fan to decide which route they want to where they want to put Christian and Cope.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Because, you know, I don't know. I think it's a good they had to bring Killswitch back with Christian Cage in some way, because the way that he left, you know, Christian Cage, I think, kind of and they really couldn't play it out right because of the medical emergency he had. But it was they were getting to the heel turn or the face turn for Killswitch. And then he had his medical problems. And so they have to do it. I think if we got Jurassic Express as like a dominant heel tag team instead of a face tag team, I think it would be pretty cool. And like Jack Perry still, maybe he doesn't go by Jungle Boy. Maybe he still keeps the Killswitch or the scapegoat gimmick, and still partners with the Young Bucks in some way. But they bring that tag team back together. And Jack Perry has been posting interesting videos of him in the woods here recently. So, like, I think he's playing into this idea that in storyline, let's just say he just goes out and, you know, he leaves. We haven't seen Jack Perry in, like, 300 days. His disappearance this time was longer than his disappearance when Punk choked him out 2 years ago. And so, yeah, I think it would be interesting to see, like, maybe in storyline, Perry found an injured Luchasaurus and resuscitated him back to life, and they reformed his bond. And but they're coming back for revenge, and they don't want to be liked by the people. I don't know. Yeah, let's talk about this match.
Sorry, one more thing.
Yeah.
I know people want the OG Jungle Boy back and Jurassic Express back. I really enjoy. I enjoy it. I think it's a different side of Jack, and he does well with it. But I think he was given a shit end of the stick, obviously, because of the Punk situation, that I don't think we were really able to see the true potential of the character because of that cloud hanging over his head. I think him having this whole year off, absence makes the heart grow fonder, whether it's injury or not injury, whatever the case may be, bring him back, have him in Luchasaurus. Eventually, we can get Jungle Boy back, but let's have them as a heel. Let's try that. Right. Let's see what it looks like. And if it turns out that it's just not working, absolutely, we can just make it happen, make a switch, and then have them be back to OG Jurassic Express with El Marco Stone. But I want to see that as a heel. I think that'd be great. I think Jack just wasn't given a fair shot with that scapegoat gimmick. And I think he could really capitalize on that opportunity now as a second go round. Not back to the match.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about this match, because we had a switch up. It's Cope and Christian against Kip Sabian and Nick Wayne. Nick Wayne said last night that he broke his foot. And so Killswitch takes his spot in this tag match. I think we got a Seth Rollins situation on hand, and he's faking us out. He's not really hurt. But I still think Cope and Cage get the dub in this match. I think the whole idea for this match is to see if Copeland and Cage can still tag team before giving them just the title opportunity. You have to give them a reason to have a title opportunity. I think at some point, let's just say Cope and Cage get the win over them, and then Nick Wayne comes out and beats up somebody, and maybe we, you know, keep him around, or maybe at that point is when Killswitch turns face and turns on Sabian and Nick Wayne. Who knows where that goes? But I think Hope and Cage get the dub in this match. This is just a way to set up, get them a win, and that way they have some momentum leading into All Out.
I totally think, even if it was Nick Wayne or now Killswitch, I think Hope and Christian are getting the win as well. I think that by them, even if it's not a work with the Nick Wayne situation, it gives them the opportunity to hold on and extend this out a little bit further and either have a match on Dynamite or Collision or whatever will lead to Kofi and Christian winning against FTR, potentially the tag belts, that they're still not done with Kip and Nick, and they can save that match for Wrestle Dream in October or, like I said, a Dynamite or a Collision. But I think that that this story of the Kofi and Christian thing is – they kind of still trust, they trust each other kind of, but they're still like not fully on the same page. And it's like, you know, maybe the more that they tag team and the more that they team up and potentially win, that they're starting to gain more trust, and it leads them to win the tag belts. And it's like, oh my God, we still have it. We can still do this. And we get that big hurrah moment of them, you know, teaming again, potentially winning the tag belts and going from there. But yeah, I got Kofi and Christian winning as well.
All righty, let's move along. We get this match. I don't know what's going to happen with it. I assume this is going to happen after the main event, which would be
you would think.
But the Lights Out unsanctioned steel cage match, and there's a lot of talking points about this match. One, Hiroshi Tanahashi can barely walk.
I watched him walk down that ramp, and I'm like, buddy is struggling right now, man. He is on one leg.
Secondly, Will Ospreay needs neck surgery. This is a crazy match for him to be in right before getting neck surgery, which, by the way, that's probably going to take Will Ospreay out of action for 12 to 15 months. So I hope to God at this time next year he's back, because I think that's going to be his push for the world title, the world championship.
I think he wants it next year at All in London.
So, I mean, well wishes to Will Ospreay. I hope Tanahashi doesn't blow both knees out. This is just a crazy match for people that like Ibushi is literally like what, a year out from having a massive injury, and he just came back. Omega has diverticulitis. Ospreay needs neck surgery. Tanahashi can't fucking walk down a ramp. And then Darby Allin might be the healthiest motherfucker in this ring.
Which is crazy, because he just escalated, climbed and came from Mount Everest.
So this is going to be a interesting match. There's a rumor going around that this match is going to have two rings. It's going to be a double ringed match.
See, I feel like they would have made that a thing last night. I don't understand why they would wait until Sunday to show it, announce it, or whatever the case may be.
Unless they announce it on Collision on Saturday.
I don't like that. I feel like they should have done it last night. The only other option, because that's 10 people in one cage ain't happening, unless they make this a huge cage, like a Hell in a Cell type of thing, and it allows them to have more room. But I feel if they're going to have two rings, that they should have announced this last night, and they should have really announced it a week ago. But I would not love the decision to do it with very little build to it. But this is going to be a just fucking insane match.
Yeah. So I'm going to pick, and this is tough. I'm going to make an executive decision on this one. I'm going to change my pick from what I put in the Discord prediction page. Give me the Death Riders. I think they win this match. Just with they gotta write Ospreay off of TV. This is Tanahashi's last match in England, so and it's not like a one-on-one match. So I think his big celebratory match. He's wrestling in Rev Pro, I think, a couple nights before. So like workhorse Tanahashi at the end of his career, and so I don't know. Something inside of me says they got to keep the Death Riders alive, and we may get some gimmick if Jack Perry isn't a part of the kill switch angle. I think this would be a great opportunity to have Jack Perry continue under the Young Bucks stable with the Elite. But I guess we'll see. Maybe at some point we get like Drilla Maloney, Robbie X, some of the people from War Dogs to come out there and help Gabe Kidd. We might get an Eddie Kingston return too. I feel like we talk about the same people returning in every Moxley match. I'm going Death Riders on this one.
Man, this is tough because I think that the faces could win and they just get beat down by the Death Riders at the end of the match. But I think that this is just a way that even though the Death Riders have lost everything, that they still have an ability to either one up the faces or via Jack Perry, or I don't know. I initially was going to go with the faces and say that I think that they can win, and it's just going to be a beatdown from...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The Death Riders to end them, but Hiroshi and Jetspeed won last night, and even though the heels came out and beat down the faces, Darby came out and beat them all up, so the faces won the match, and they stood tall at the end of Dynamite, so I think I may have to go with the Death Riders too. Especially with two or three people getting ready to be off TV for the next few months. We're not going to see Tanahashi again, I don't think. I think we're going to get the Death Riders winning this match.
All right. TNT Championship is on the line on Sunday night when Kyle Fletcher takes on Hiromu Takahashi. I love this matchup. I like Kyle Fletcher. Takahashi, he's not as in his prime in the ring as he was like 3 or 4 years ago, but he's still a really good wrestler. This is going to be a fun match. This isn't really hard for me to make a pick. I think Fletcher retains.
Yeah, I think Fletcher retains too. I don't think they're going to give a New Japan guy TNT title, especially with Fletcher just winning it. I think it's going to have a pretty lengthy reign. I think it's going to be a really good match, but no, I'm going to go with Kyle Fletcher as well.
Alrighty, let's move on. AEW Unified Championship. And if I didn't read Sean Ross Sapp's report today, I would have picked Swerve Strickland to win this match. But Swerve Strickland is dealing with a torn meniscus. And I'm sorry. He's had a torn meniscus since 2019 when he was in NXT training in the Performance Center. For all of those saying that the Performance Center is such great things, he tore his fucking meniscus in the Performance Center, and they told him just to keep working. And he's been working on it since 2019, and he's finally about to have surgery on it. I think Swerve Strickland's about to be written off TV for a while as well. So give me Kazuchika Okada to retain.
I think it would have been weird to have Okada just lose this Unified Championship a month after winning it. If it was maybe for one single title, I could see him losing it. But even without the Swerve injury thing, which, of course, does matter and factors into it, I think I would have had Okada winning anyways, just solidifying this championship, this whole era of this Unified belt, just having big wins over Omega and now over Swerve. I think solidifies it, which 2, 3, 4, we are 5 for 5, same predictions, but does not happen. Does not happen, but I'm going to go with Okada as well.
So either we're going undefeated or we're going to lose every single one of these together. So I feel good knowing that we're picking the same because you're usually more right than wrong on these predictions. So. All right, let's move on to the next one. We got the TBS Championship 4-way match, a collaboration between AEW, Stardom, and CMLL. Mercedes Moné defends against Alex Wenza, Persephone, and just announced yesterday by Stardom, the massive Bozilla. And I don't know if you've watched a Bozilla or Persephone match. They can go. I am excited for this match. And I'm going to throw out a hot take for everyone real quick before I tell you who's going to win this match. This might be match of the night. This might be the best match on the card. All four of these women can wrestle their ass off. Mercedes Moné is retaining. I don't think there's any way she drops that championship belt. She's like 60-ish days away from becoming the longest reigning TBS championship holder in company history. I think they want to wipe the stain of Jade Cargill out of the record books. She's holding that belt until Wrestle Dream? Wrestle Dream would be 2 pay-per-views from now.
Depending on, whatever the date is for that.
It would be Wrestle Dream, or right after Wrestle Dream would be Full Gear. So one of those 2 pay-per-views is when she'll get to the record and drop it. I think Mercedes Moné retains, but again, this is going to be a great match, and you're going to see 4 really good women all get their good spots. And let's talk about Mercedes Moné for a minute, because people talk a lot of shit about her. But she's a workhorse. She's wrestling 4 matches this week. She had a match last night. She has a match on tomorrow night for the Rev Pro Championship. Match night 2, she has a match for the Rev Pro Anniversary Show that Saturday, where she's wrestling an tag team match. And then Sunday, she has this match. And then to talk about what she means to the companies that she's working with outside of AEW, the owner of RevPro had the following quote to talk about Mercedes Moné. "I see how much of a draw every wrestler that advertised for RevPro is, and Mercedes is off the charts. You keep that belt on Mercedes as long as you can because you've got a cash cow. She's making money for a lot of these indie promotions. That's why she's 8 belts, Moné. There's a possibility she becomes 9 belts, no Moné, over the weekend. She might win another belt, and I think she does win the 9th belt. because she makes a lot of money and she really cares about the industry. And so I think you got to give Mercedes, if you hate her on a personal level, that's whatever. But what on the inside of the ring, she's one of the best to ever do it, if not the best woman to ever do it. You got to give her props. Give me Mercedes to win this match.
Yeah, I don't think there's much else to say besides that. I think it'd be kind of interesting if Alex Splinter won the match.
But it would be fun in her home crowd.
It would be. Which brings me to a point that, you know what, if I'm not going to have the hometown lady win, I got to have a hometown person winning something. So I'm going to change up. I'm going to change up my pick for the for the lights out match. I'm going to go with the faces. I don't whatever you want to call that tag team.
The unsanctioned match.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Omega, Ibushi, Tanahashi, Darby, and Ospreay. Got to have the hometown guy win one match since Windsor will not be winning this. I'm going to go with Mercedes as well. I have seen a Persephone match before. She's really good, really stiff. I'm not seeing a Bozilla match. I have no idea who this lady is. She looks scary. Maybe that'll be a prelude for what will happen on Sunday, but should be a good match.
Yeah, she started wrestling. She's German, by the way. I don't know if you can tell, but she's German. She started wrestling in, I think, the same company Gunther came from in Germany. She worked for Rossi's promotion, Marigold, for a while. And then now she's been in Stardom for about a year. So she's really good. I haven't seen a lot of her matches. From what I could tell, she's pretty good. I think she's only 22, by the way. She's really young, too.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, she doesn't look young, but she's very young to be at this stage in her career. Let's talk about the next one. Oh, I can't. I'm sorry. Let me back that up. I talked about that four-way being the match of the night. I'm gonna have to refrain. This is going to be match of the night. I'm sorry. Zack Sabre fucking Jr. versus Nigel McGuinness for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. What a fucking dream match. Oh, I can't wait. What's your thoughts on this one?
So we got three opportunities for the hometown people, home country people to win a match with. TBS title, the lights out match, and then this match. Boy, wouldn't that be something if Nigel McGuinness won the IWGP World Heavyweight title? That would be insane. It is not happening, but it would be insane. This match should be a barn burner. This match should be the epitome of British wrestling. I think this would be just a phenomenal match. But Sabre Jr. is retaining.
Yeah, I think Sabre gets the win. Kind of the same reason with Kyle Fletcher not losing to a New Japan wrestler. I don't think New Japan's going to let their top belt lose to a part-time commentator for AEW. And I love Nigel, and I think he could still wrestle. And it would be cool to see him have the IWGP belt. But we're so close to them ramping up for Wrestle Kingdom. Or, I'm sorry, not Wrestle Kingdom. Wait, no, Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom. In January, like, this is when we're after. I think we get one or two more tournaments leading up to who gets some matches, like Takeshka. I think at one point here, Danny turns on Nigel. Nigel is going to lose to Sabre, and then Sabre Jr. is going to be met by the person that's going to meet him in the fucking Tokyo Dome in January. Kinosuke Takeshka is going to meet him in the ring, and we're going to have a face down. I can't wait for this match. This is what British strong style is. I can't wait to see the crowd pop for this show and the O2, which, tell me if I'm wrong, Have they outsold Money in the Bank 2024 from the O2?
Let me double check. I did see an updated count. Second. So Money in the Bank last year drew, or was that last year in, hold on, that was not
last year or 2 years ago. Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago.
Let's take a look here. That was 17,617. So what did I say? 17,617.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh my gosh! Come on. Why is Twitter really being a bitch right now? Why is my phone being a bitch? Really, to be honest with you. One second. Evidently, Twitter just wants to just crash on me right now. One memento, por favor. We were at 17,617. And then, let's see.
Ooh, I got it from 2 days ago. Have they updated it today?
I thought I saw something updated today. Let me double check. AEW ticket map updates. What does WrestleTix say from 2 days ago?
17,159.
So 13 hours ago, it said 17,135 from AEW ticket map updates. They added more rows in the upper tier, so that's why the distribute went down a little bit. They had 255 remaining, but I think there could be some late production kills. I don't know if they'll get to 17,6 something, but they'll get really damn close.
It's going to be a raucous crowd regardless. They may not get there, but they're within 500 tickets of Money in the Bank, which I think is a good testament. Tony Khan, I guess, said last night when they did the taping that even before they come back for All In next year, that they'll have another England show sometime next year before then. So they love England. They love that area. It sells really well. But yeah, let's move on here. Two more matches. The first one, the AEW Women's World Championship between Timeless Toni Storm and Athena. Whoo! This one took me a minute, but I realized I don't know if this is the moment that they give Athena the belt. I think there's still a little bit more to talk about Toni Storm. I think ultimately someone like a Megan Bain or something will be the one that eventually, or Chris Statlander. Didn't Chris Statlander win a title opportunity? I think she won some match. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking about something totally not relevant, but yeah, I think Toni Storm wins this match. We let Athena get to 1,000 days as ROH champion, but I think she eventually is going to drop that ROH belt to I think she's fighting Mina Shirakawa at the next ROH pay-per-view. So we'll I think that might have something to do with Toni Storm winning here.
Yeah, I think their next pay-per-view is Death Before Dishonor 2 weeks or 3 weeks from Friday at the ECW Arena, that the AEW is having that residency and starting, I believe, this Wednesday. If not this Wednesday, next Wednesday, but still, I'm very frustrated by this match. I don't think that Athena, I don't think that the storyline should have been this before Athena cashes in that opportunity here. I don't like it. I think she should have been the one to dethrone Toni Storm. But they could have waited months down the road to have this opportunity. She could have got to 1,000 days as ROH Women's Champion, lost the belt then, and then been not called up to AEW, but take some time off and then call her shot and then surprisingly do it. And then it, to me, it would have made more sense. With that being said, I think Tony wins this match. Problem is it's like, all right, we're starting to run out of people here that quote unquote legitimately should win. But I mean, I go back to Megan Baines. She should have been the person maybe to do it then. But if she's going to be the person to do it, we have to restart her whole program again to make her look dominant and get her back to looking strong again to have that potential of her winning. But she shouldn't have had the opportunity to begin with because, like, we've already lost this person once. I just don't like the way that the booking has been between Megan and now Athena for this belt. Both of them could easily be the ones to dethrone Tony, but I feel like this program shouldn't have happened now. But yeah, Tony's gonna win.
The only thing I can think happened, because like you said, I don't know how Megan Bain just automatically jumps back into the top spot, but a thought just came into my head. We're in England. Like, does Jamie Hayter come back?
That's a good one. There's a possibility that could happen, but like, what was her program before she got attacked and took out? Was that Tekla? Was that?
It's been a minute. I don't remember
who took out Jamie Hayter, but I feel like she's going to automatically go for that.
Right.
It would make sense for her to come back at this show with it being in her home country. Maybe the TBS title, she can do that and make a push for Mercedes.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not 100% sure as to what.
Yeah. And then unless we get like a free agent that I don't know that we've signed show up, or the only other name I could think of is like, who could show up and immediately be put back in the world title scene without having to do anything? And like, how big of a pop would we get if Britt Baker came back?
I don't know how big of a pop she would get in England. I know if it was Saraya or Jamie Hayter, they would get a big pop, obviously being English girls, but I'm sure Britt would get a pop. I just don't know how big it would be. I think it would be bigger in the States for sure. But you could still have Jamie come back and not interfere, but come out at the end of the match and see she's back and maybe present a threat to Tony. It would make more sense for Jamie to be a face to face somebody like Mercedes. But if we're trying to get to that dethroning of Jade Cargill's record, we got to get to October, I think. So that means that you should not have Mercedes versus Jamie at All Out. It would be a big match, but eventually you're going to start running out of people of, okay, who makes sense to be here? Who deserves a push? Who earned it? Good timing, makes sense.
Right.
You can't just put the belt on anybody. So it's a little bit of a tricky spot for both belts, but I don't think this match should have happened to begin with, but yeah.
Yeah, no, the booking is a little weird. I was thinking while you were talking, like, what free agents could, and the free agents that are available are kind of weak. Like, I mean, you could get like a Cora Jade or a B Priestley, but like, would they really get the pop that, you know, I don't know. I think, here's the problem with the women's division right now is Tony Khan has kept the mid card, or what would be considered the mid card, and if it was WWE, I know AEW doesn't really technically like that term, but they've kept the lower card kind of on a hiatus because they're waiting for somebody to come back due to injury so that they can run this freaking tag team tournament. And so Tony is just trying to find any way possible to keep these women relevant, and he's just throwing random 8-woman tag team matches and all of this, waiting, trying to keep the tag team scene relevant for this tournament to happen. And it's like there's got to be a payoff to something. And there's just a lot of mumbo jumbo scrambled mess in this women's division right now. And it's very not clear what direction anybody's going in. Because like Tekla, I think could beat Toni Storm and it'd be legit. But what has Tekla done in the ring to give her that opportunity? Like she's been doing trios matches for the past two or 3 months. So it's just tough to give anybody outside of Athena or one of those people an opportunity. And then I think there's always that off chance shot Athena does beat Toni Storm. And then she holds both belts. And then maybe like a Billy Starks turn happens on Athena. Somewhere maybe at Dishonor pay-per-view. So who knows? It's very convoluted with the women's stories right now. And I hope they clear it up sometime soon, because it's been that way for a little bit. And the women's scene in AEW, if they give them the time, man, it would be really good, because they got a lot of really good women. So then we get to what I assume would be the called main event. Obviously, like I said earlier, I think the non-sanctioned match will be the last thing we see, but it's non-sanctioned, so AEW isn't sanctioning the match. It's not officially a match, so it's not the main event. This would be classified as the main event. The AEW World Championship match between Hangman Page and MJF. Last night, Hangman Page, to save Mark Briscoe from dying a fiery death, told MJF he didn't have to sign his contract. I don't like this booking. It seems very interesting just right before the show to pull this move. I'm not a big fan of the story leading up to it. But I'm intrigued by this matchup because MJF and Hangman Page work really well together. The reason I don't like the booking is because it almost tells the story that Hangman's retaining here because MJF still has the contract. And so why would he need the contract if he was going to win? And so I got to go with Hangman Page winning just simply because a story wouldn't make sense if MJF, and maybe it would if he held the belt and the contract so that if he ever lost the belt, he could use the contract. But I'm not a fan of it. And so I got to say Hangman Page retains here.
I don't love the story going into this match either. But I do like the non-use of the clause for this opportunity, for the fact that it still aligns with my prediction that Hangman is going to, MJF is going to cash in at World's End and get the world title there, hold it until August when Ospreay comes back and gets a world title shot at Wembley Stadium, and that's where his crowning moment will happen. Boy, it'd be funny as if MJF loses and then immediately cashes in the belt and either loses again or wins again. It would just make it a cluster in a way, but it'd be funny. But yeah, like you said, it kind of makes it more, it just makes a very predictable outcome that MJF's not going to win this match and it's kind of all for nothing in a way. But I kind of wish they did this for Athena too, because it's like, I feel Athena could be the one to dethrone Toni Storm, but like I said, that match shouldn't have happened. They could have let her lose the ROH title, keep her off TV for a little while and just like not making anything of it. And then bam, she shows up randomly and wins the belt. But it's a little too predictable with this match. AEW is typically not a very easy company on pay-per-views to predict things, but I think this is a little too predictable. And the Hangman's going to win. Just won the world title. I don't think you're going to have him lose it less than a month later or right around a month later, which means going off of our predictions that only one match we have different. That's not often that we pick so many of the same people, but I think with Forbidden Door, it just makes it a lot. It just makes it a little bit of an easier pay-per-view to predict because it's an AEW. It says it's AEW and New Japan collaboration. I get that, but like most AEW talent is going to win if it's against another company's talent unless it's the world title for New Japan. But when you pit two AEW people against each other, it makes it a little bit tougher. But yeah, I think this match is just a little too predictable, and Heyman's going to win.
All righty, everybody. Let us know what you think happens on Sunday. I'm not a fan that this is a Sunday show. It's just was a Saturday show.
Should be one of the last Sunday shows of the year, though. I don't know if All Out on a Sunday. I think it is. No, it's on a Saturday. A
Saturday, because they're running a pay-per-view head-to-head with it.
So this will be the last Sunday pay-per-view for a while, until maybe Revolution next year. So that'll be nice.
One last thing I got to talk about. I opened up social media just a minute ago. Australia, are you ready for round two? Something big is coming very soon. AEW Australia 2026. Join the waitlist now.
Okay.
Something big. So it's not like it's a Grand Slam Australia. It sounds like they might be getting a pay-per-view.
That would be good. And that way we can kind of avoid the whole, hey, they were promised a pay-per-view and they pulled the rug from underneath them and they didn't get the pay-per-view. No, that's not what happened. But yeah, I think that would be cool to give them a pay-per-view. Now here's the question. Are we going to have them in the stadium that they were going to run before? Or are they going to go back to the Sports Entertainment Center? Which, I mean, drew 10,000 people. It's a great show, but I wonder how they're gonna do all that.
The announcement says something big is coming to Australia. Register for pre-sale tickets. It does not give a venue. The assumption would be Melbourne. I think it's what everybody's saying, or Sydney. Maybe they run Sydney. So. That's interesting. WWE's running Perth in 2 weeks or 2 months. So Australia is getting some love from the wrestling world. I wonder, like, what pay-per-view would they give them? I would assume maybe, like, a Revolution.
That might be the problem. Is we might get a Revolution going to Australia.
Well, no, because... Revolution was in LA last year, so I don't know if they've announced I don't think they've announced their next year calendar, so
no.
That'll be interesting.
Unless they have a January or February pay-per-view before Revolution, or they turn Grand Slam into a pay-per-view, I don't know, but yeah, that's big news, but that's going to be interesting to kind of see what's going to be with the announcements when that's going to happen here, I would imagine here pretty soon. That should be interesting to see what happens in the next few days, weeks, months leading up to that.
I wonder if we get any news on Sunday, any further news on it at the show. Because that's London was where they announced Australia the first time. So I wonder if Tony Khan makes a big deal out of it on Sunday. But this was the prediction show. I love these international crowds. The crowd in Glasgow last night was fucking great. I heard the crowd for Collision was just as good because they taped that, I think, at the same time as the Dynamite taping. So Sunday night, we got here. I'm going to leave it off to you, my friend, to say the final words, and then we'll be out of here.
Well, fun prediction show as always. should be a fun exciting show on Sunday night, Sunday afternoon actually for us, which is pretty cool that we can watch a 4-hour pay-per-view and be done by 5 or 6 and still have the night to do stuff and you know, not stay up until midnight and watching a pay-per-view on a work night, and for us here at this household, a school night. Right. So if you have kiddos that are either in school or getting ready for school, God bless you. as parents, we've made it. We made it through the summer. We can finally let our kids back in the hands of strangers and let them deal with them for 8 hours of the day, sometimes 10 if they stay after school, while we work and try to, you know, de-stress ourselves. With that being said, have a great weekend. Make sure that the kiddos, if they enjoy it, mine doesn't, so we get more of it. But if they enjoy any kind of sauce, whether it's sauce on your wings, whether it's condiment sauce you dip your stuff in, or if it's sauce you mix in with your food, like a chicken parm or spaghetti or eggplant parm, a lasagna or pizza, regardless of the fact, make sure you guys eat the sauce. But most importantly, stay saucy.
We'll be here on the Saturday morning for the Saturday solo show. We'll see y'all next Thursday for the live stream. Enjoy wrestling this week. Apparently WWE has a NXT pay-per-view on Sunday too. So enjoy that if you're going to watch it. Heat Wave. Yep. So knowing Tony Khan, he'll run this show right until the start time of Heat Wave.
Anyways, Heat Wave. So
anyways, y'all have a good night and we'll see y'all next week. This has been the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. We'll see you next time. Beyond the